Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. David S. Reynolds, a Bancroft Prize-winning cultural historian. Presents John Brown, abolitionist as both a biography and a cultural history of one of the most disputed figures in 19th century America. The book examines Brown from his religious upbringing and anti-slavery commitments through Bleeding Kansas, the raid on Harper's Ferry, his trial, and his execution in 1859. Reynolds aims to move beyond the familiar alternatives of mad fanatic or saintly martyr. He argues that Brown was a deeply formed product of his era, especially its evangelical Protestantism, reform movements, racial conflicts, and political breakdowns. The book is not only about one militant abolitionist. It is about how moral conviction, racial justice, violence, and national crisis became inseparable in the final years before the Civil War. Its purpose is to explain why Brown mattered historically and why interpretations of him remain unstable and politically charged. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Brown is a product of evangelical reform culture rather than an isolated fanatic. A central strength of the book is its refusal to treat Brown as an inexplicable extremist who appeared outside normal American life. Reynolds places him within a broad 19th century culture of religious reform, anti-slavery activism, biblical language, and providential thinking. Brown inherited a stern Calvinist and Puritan-influenced moral world in which slavery was not merely a social evil but a sin-demanding judgment. This context matters because it explains both the intensity of his abolitionism and his willingness to understand political action in sacred terms. Reynolds does not excuse Brown by pointing to religion, nor does he reduce him to religious mania. Instead, he shows how ideas common in respectable reform circles could, in Brown, take a militant and uncompromising form. The book therefore complicates the boundary between mainstream moral reform and revolutionary violence. Brown emerges as unusual in action, but not wholly alien in belief. This framework helps readers see why many Northerners who rejected violence could still recognize something familiar in his language of sacrifice, justice, and divine mission after his execution. Secondly, the moral problem of anti-slavery violence in a nation protected by law, Reynolds makes the question of violence one of the central interpretive problems of the biography. Brown believed that slavery was sustained by force, federal compromise, racial terror, and the legal protection of human bondage. From that premise, he concluded that peaceful persuasion and political delay were inadequate. The book follows this reasoning without turning it into a simple defense. Brown participated in lethal violence in Kansas, and later attempted to launch an armed campaign against slavery at Harper's Ferry. These actions force readers to confront a difficult distinction between principled resistance and unlawful brutality. Reynolds presents Brown as someone who saw himself as fighting a war that the nation refused to name. The significance of this analysis lies in its attention to historical conditions. In an era when enslaved people were denied legal personhood and slaveholders could claim constitutional protection, the rule of law itself was morally compromised. The book, therefore, asks whether violence against slavery can be judged only by ordinary legal standards, or whether the violence embedded in slavery must also be included in the ethical accounting. Thirdly, Bleeding Kansas and Harper's Ferry as accelerators of political collapse. The book treats Brown not only as a man of conviction, but as an agent who changed the tempo of national politics. In Kansas, he entered a contested borderland where the Kansas-Nebraska Act had turned slavery expansion into a local war over settlement, voting, intimidation, and armed defense. Brown responded to pro-slavery violence with counterviolence, most notoriously in the Pottawatomie killings, and became a symbol of the breakdown of compromise. Harper's Ferry magnified that effect on a national scale. Although the raid failed militarily and did not produce the slave uprising Brown expected, it succeeded politically by terrifying the South and electrifying the North. Reynolds emphasizes that Brown revealed what many slaveholders feared most, namely that militant abolitionism might move from speech and petitions to armed insurrection. At the same time, Northern reactions to his trial and death showed that anti-slavery sentiment had hardened beyond older caution. The book argues that Brown did not single-handedly cause the Civil War, but he helped destroy confidence that the slavery conflict could be contained through ordinary politics. Fourthly, public memory transformed Brown from criminal defendant into national symbol. Reynolds gives sustained attention to the making of Brown as an image after Harper's Ferry. The trial and execution became as historically important as the raid itself because they turned an unsuccessful insurgent into a public symbol. Brown used the courtroom and his final statements to present himself as a servant of the enslaved, rather than a self-interested rebel. This changed how many observers interpreted his actions. To much of the South, he remained proof of abolitionist conspiracy and Northern hostility. To many in the North, Even among people uneasy with his methods, he appeared increasingly as a martyr whose death exposed the moral violence of slavery. Reynolds shows that Brown was compared to figures such as biblical prophets, Puritan soldiers, and revolutionary heroes, while critics saw him as a murderer or dangerous zealot. This unstable public image is essential to the book because it explains how historical meaning is produced through conflict. Brown mattered not only because of what he did, but because Americans argued over what he represented at the very moment the Union was coming apart. Lastly, the link from abolitionist militancy to later civil rights memory. The subtitle claim that Brown ceded civil rights is not presented as a simple line of influence from one man to a later movement. Reynolds is more interested in the way Brown introduced enduring questions into American racial politics. He insisted on black humanity, rejected gradualism, cooperated with black abolitionists, and treated enslaved people as participants in a liberation struggle rather than passive objects of white reform. Those commitments made him stand apart from many white anti-slavery figures whose opposition to slavery did not always include racial equality. The book connects this radical egalitarianism to later traditions of civil rights memory, while also recognizing that Brown was not a model for nonviolent protest in any straightforward sense. His legacy is therefore double. He anticipated later demands for interracial justice, but he did so through armed struggle and apocalyptic moral language. Reynolds uses this tension to explain why Brown could be remembered by some as a precursor of freedom movements and by others as a prototype of political terror. The value of the book is its refusal to separate racial idealism from the troubling means Brown embraced. In conclusion, John Brown, Abolitionist, is best suited for readers who want more than a chronological account of raids, trials, and battlefield prelude. It will appeal to students of the Civil War, abolitionism, American religion, political violence, and racial justice, as well as general readers willing to engage a dense but readable historical argument. The intellectual benefit of the book is its capacity to make Brown comprehensible without making him comfortable. Reynolds helps readers understand how a man could be morally serious, racially radical for his time, religiously devout, strategically flawed, and lethally violent at once. That combination is the reason the book stands out among biographies of Brown. Earlier and shorter accounts often focus on whether he was sane, heroic, or criminal. Reynolds shifts the emphasis toward cultural meaning, showing how Brown drew from Puritan memory, reform culture, anti-slavery networks, and national fear. Compared with standard Civil War origin studies, the book gives unusual weight to symbolism, public memory, and the emotional impact of martyrdom. Compared with narrower biographies, it more fully explains why Brown became a force in American imagination after his death. Its lasting value lies in showing how one controversial life can illuminate the collapse of compromise over slavery. If you would like to support David S. Reynolds, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.